Hey everyone, welcome to the initial episode of the Food Origins Podcast. Today's episode and my first episode and inspiration for this podcast is Courtney Henderson. Courtney is a professional photographer and runs his own studio, Hendo Studios in San Diego, California. And actually this podcast was fortunately recorded on location there. So I appreciate you, Courtney, for that. And we met actually through Jocko Willink at one of his conferences, and we hit it off talking about MMA. And that's what Courtney used to do, is took pictures of all the professional MMA fighters. And he is since now running his own studio. And we go over where he's from, and he grew up in Georgia, talking about home cooking in Georgia, from his mother's cooking to his grandmother's cooking. And we kind of go over that and some of the things that were available when he was growing up, as far as food-wise, all the different farms that were there, and getting different things from different relatives and putting together a meal. Pretty awesome podcast. And thanks to Courtney for letting me do that with you on location. And you'll hear more about some local eats, things that he ate when he was a kid and as an adult. And we do shout out some local spots in San Diego. So appreciate it and enjoy. Take care. We are rolling. Podcast 001.
Man, so proud of you, man. You about to do some big things.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on and giving me an inspiration to do this. And, today we'll be talking about food and talking about you. So
not just food. We're talking about David food. You know, like every time I see you on Instagram, bro, it's like you make me hungry, man. The stuff that you post, I'd be like, dude, I want to eat that now.
I think that's the point. I started that Instagram, you saw it a while ago, a couple of years ago, maybe even 3-4 years ago. And it was mostly just, hey, this is where I ate. This is a good spot. Mm-hmm. Let me try to get a good pic of it. You know, because Instagram's all mostly about pictures. It's slowly getting, it's now into reels and videos and stuff. But now I was just like, hey, you should eat here. That was like, that's kind of where it started.
And every place you recommended me, I went, bro. And I was like, dang, bro, this guy knows food. He knows food. Even the stuff that you sent me, man, like the spices and stuff like that. We tried it. I'm not a good cook. You know what I mean? I'm not really good at
cooking.
Shout
out to Montana Mex for that
one. Bro, let me tell you.
Eduardo Garcia.
Whew. It was funny, like one of them you had, one of the spices you had, I guess, had some cinnamon in it, inside of it.
That's the sweet one.
Bro, I'm just dipping my finger in it like.
Yeah. He's got it down. I mean.
It's so good, bro.
He's got an amazing story, as you know. So, yeah, and I just wanted, like, if you ask me where to eat or what I should get, I want to give you the best possible experience, right? Like, if, I worked in the city a lot, so it was like if you're in the city and I always tease you when you come into town, like, where are you going? Mm-hmm. Like I want if you need a spot, let me know where to eat, or coffee, or that kind of thing. And I was just like, I want you to have the best experience.
It's funny, we was in San Francisco for a little bit. Well, we got in late at night. I was trying to find a flight early, like with that, within 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or whatever like that, so I can meet up with you and we can, go and get something to eat together. Cause I know, man, San Francisco, they have some really good spots, very, very good spots. So I was like, man, but we couldn't find a good flight, man. So we got in at like 11 o'clock at night.
Sucks. That's okay. And like, I try to, I even try to help you out or any of my friends or people that I'm starting to meet over, which is crazy, over Instagram and social media, is like, I see them at a place, at a location. I'm like, hey, go eat here. This is my favorite spot. Like if, especially Vegas. Vegas has got, you could talk all day about food in Vegas.
Absolutely.
And if you're there, I've got spots that I've been to, and I try to do it. I try not to give you spots I've never been to unless they come super highly recommended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause absolutely. I want to be batting 1,000. Like, I do not want anything. And I'll tell you if I've had a bad experience.
You know?
And I think we'll talk about that today. Some of the things that you had great experiences and some things you had bad experience. So like kind of right off the bat, I know you're from Georgia.
Absolutely.
and tell us a little bit about that, and tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll probably, you know, you guys will hear an intro in the beginning of this, but I'm here with Courtney. We've been friends for about three years now.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely. Yeah. I'm from Albany, Georgia, a little country city, bro. So it's like, it's very, very country city. Not too many people, and where I'm from, we're all predominantly farmers. Like, it's this agriculture, city. Grew up with my mom, single mom, you know, me and my sister. My mom met my stepdad when I was probably, I'd say around like 7 years old. So I can pretty much consider my real dad, and he was in military. He's a Marine, and they got married, and we started traveling, bro. You know, so we started traveling. We went to, you know, Okinawa, Japan, traveled everywhere around the world because you know how the military is. You know, every 3 years you got to go to a different location. And man, this travel everywhere. He retired here in San Diego, and I went to college here in San Diego. I went to college a little bit here in San Diego. Then I went back to Georgia, to University of Georgia, finished everything out. Then I came back to San Diego because San Diego is so beautiful, man. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much my story. You know what I mean? Nothing pretty amazing, but yeah, that's pretty much my story, like coming up.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And how long were you in Georgia before you guys started moving around?
About 7 years. So I stayed in Georgia for like maybe 7 years as a kid. My grandpa was a farmer. Everybody in my family was a farmer. So we like grew all our stuff. We didn't really go out and eat out into town or anything or different restaurants. We just made all our food, you know what I mean? Yeah. And grew all our food. And every Sunday we'd go to church. Then after church, it was like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving every Sunday, bro. Like all the family members would come over to my grandma's house and we'll just eat, bro. Like everybody cook like all different types of dishes and we just eat. So food was always like prominent in my family. You know what I mean?
And what are some of the top favorite Georgia dishes that need to show up?
Bro, you know how I like
the cookouts.
Southern black people, man, you know, peach cobbler, bro, you know, black eyed peas, okra, cornbread. Let me tell you, man, it's crazy. Like all from scratch, though. This is from generations of down from slavery, all that. You know what I mean? Because I can tell you like so crazy. So my grandma and my grandpa, well, my great grandma and grandpa were slaves. And they was on a plantation. Right. So and I learned this about 2 or 3 years ago. My auntie was telling me this whole story. So everybody in my community where I was from, where I'm from in Albany, Georgia, everybody in that community was on the same plantation, you know. So when they became free, you know, they only stayed in that one area. So everybody in that area, we're like family. They're like family because we knew them from slavery. So all those different recipes and things like that, you know, transferred throughout the years and stuff like that. So it's, man, food, bro. Ugh. We got recipes that's you know, just been transferred from years, bro. It's crazy.
It's awesome.
Okra, black-eyed peas, cornbread, man, greens. And like I said, we grew all our stuff. So it's like organic. You know what I mean? Like super organic. So
and
it's pretty crazy.
And that kind of leads into probably my first question. Mm-hmm. What did you eat growing up?
Growing up, like I was saying, like it was all just, it was so crazy because we hunted our food. So like I said, we didn't go to the store or anything. So quail, you know, rabbit, crazy, bro, crazy. I mean, I could have sworn sometimes it was could have been like roadkill. We probably had roadkill on the side of the road, bro. It was like a hillbillies. We ate a lot of deer, wild boar. Those are the main meats. My grandpa and grandpa had a farm, so they had cows and stuff like that. So we had cow, we had pig. I remember killing our own chickens, getting by the head and, you know, ring their necks. Mm-hmm. So we made our own chicken. We had our own chicken. We grew our own chickens. We had pigs, goats, all that stuff. So, but most of that stuff that we didn't eat, though. But most stuff, the only meat that we really ate was, like, you know, the stuff we can go hunt. You know, like deer, venison, wild boar, chicken. That's pretty much it. Then all the, of course, the other stuff they weighed was like black-eyed peas, okra, a lot of greens, things of that nature. You know what I mean? But like I said, this is all the stuff we grew.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, that's like a natural way of life, I think. You know, like all getting everything as much as you can from nature and what's around you.
Yeah. Another thing too,
building on all that with all the Georgia recipes and everything.
We're really poor too. You know what I mean? So we didn't have much at the time. So like my grandma and grandpa, they didn't have any education, you know what I mean? Cause they didn't, you know, like they came from, you know, slavery, you know what I mean? So they didn't have much, but they made do whatever they had. So we grew everything. So it's crazy.
And then it's kind of a weird question, but like everyone, I think every kid has maybe something they really love and they have something they really didn't like or hated. When you're growing up, you're like, I won't eat that, but I love this. What are some of the things you really loved and maybe something you didn't like?
Eggs and okra.
That you liked or didn't like?
I didn't like.
Didn't like eggs or okra. Okay.
Bro, okra, I was disgusted by okra because it has a slimy texture.
It does have a weird texture. I've only tasted it. I don't eat it. I didn't grow up with it, but I agree. It does have a, it doesn't have the appeal.
Yeah.
The definitely looks appeal for sure.
So it was so funny because we didn't eat like a variety of foods. You know what I mean? So we only had like a certain amount of foods we can eat. So where I was forced to eat okra. And that, bro, it was like slimy. And just the texture and that sliminess of the okra, it would just make me like just nauseous mentally. Because I felt like I was eating slime all day. You know what I mean? So I was forced to eat it, though. And it was like, it was traumatic to me, man. So now I will not eat okra to this day.
Okay.
I will not eat it. Every time I see it, eggs, yeah. What? I don't know why.
Even to this day as well?
Now I love eggs.
Okay.
I love eggs.
But what happened back then?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I didn't like the taste of eggs.
Okay.
I didn't like the taste of it.
Sometimes I find it just wasn't made right.
Right. And I think that's what it was too. Because we used to eat a lot of poached eggs too as well. Not like scrambled, poached.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think I like slimy texture.
Okay.
Like anything like liquidy texture, I don't like it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
that's kind of, the line. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, even like, you know, I stopped liking pizza because I so like two years ago, I ordered a pizza and the pizza was half done and I was eating it and it had like a really like another, like, you know, like slimy texture from it too. And it's, I was like, dude, I'm not eating pizza anymore. So now in my mind, I just can't eat pizza. I'm a weirdo, man. I'm weird for sure.
I will take you somewhere that's got good pizza.
Scared, bro.
Even though
I'm
we
scared.
Don't need to eat it, but
it has to be done. It has to be like
correct.
It can't have that soft, slimy texture. You know what I mean?
I agree. And then like it doesn't have to, if you don't have anything, but like anything. I mean, maybe the slimy texture is your traumatic thing with food.
Absolutely.
Like I was asking you about anything that's traumatic. Maybe there's an incident. Just so you guys know, like I had my tonsils taken out.
Oh wow!
When I was little. You know, around 9 or 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, when you get done, you wake up and you're in the hospital in the bed and they're like, you can't eat anything but Jell-O.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's all I can have for 3 days, maybe longer.
Do you eat Jell-O now, though?
Negative.
Oh, see?
That's negative, Ghost Rider. No Jell-O for this guy.
Dang, bro.
That's, you guys may laugh about it, but Jell-O's not for me. My wife knows she loves Jell-O, but not for me.
Man, let me tell you, Bill Cosby will hate you right now.
I think we'll leave that right there.
And then, we're not going to elaborate on that at all. We'll keep that one.
We'll keep that one. Some more technical things. What, obviously, like eggs, so that changed.
Yes.
Now you eat eggs. Mm-hmm. What kind of eggs? And is there anything that what changed it? Like, was there something that...
Bro,
you had and you're like, oh, I love eggs now.
You know what changed for me? I had eggs inside of fried rice. My ex-girlfriend made some fried rice.
Okay.
I'm a certified fat boy. I love to eat, bro. I love any type of food now, mostly. But she put eggs inside of fried rice, and I was like, dang, this is pretty good. You know, I would run with this. I like this. Mm-hmm. Then it transferred to like more, you know, the breakfast stuff, scrambled eggs with our omelets and stuff like that, and. I was like, man, I like eggs. Now I love eggs, bro. You know what I mean? So now it's even to the point that I'm getting my own chicken coop in the backyard because I have a garden in my backyard. And I'm going to get a chicken coop in the backyard and have eggs. I want my own eggs.
We will getting into Courtney's garden in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since he's a farmer boy. No, it's all good.
So crazy.
And then I think we already talked about it. It's like what food you didn't eat as a kid, but you eat now.
Yeah.
Eggs. But still no okra.
I'm trying to think of anything else I didn't eat. Okay. Like, we didn't have too much, man. We were dirt poor, bro, when I was coming up. We didn't have a lot of different choices, you know, so I had to stick to certain things. The main things that we had, like I said, was like more the greens, collard greens and, you know, okra, you know, that's a bit cabbage. But the thing is, though, like I was saying, those recipes that they were making was just, bro, this is the best food you can eat. If you want to eat collard greens, my grandma, she could have made the best greens. She passed away, but she would have made the best greens you ever had in your life. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, home cooked is the best cooked. You know, absolutely. I would say.
Absolutely. You know,
and then we'll kind of forte into adulthood and kind of the adult eats. You know, the top question I have is, what is, and we can do it either way, worst experience or best experience as far as restaurants? And this goes for anywhere in the world, wherever you've been, wherever you traveled. Obviously, you grew up kind of bouncing around, kind of a, your dad, yeah, your stepdad was a Marine, you said?
Yeah, he's
a
Marine.
So
he's
I'll call Marine. You a Marine brat, maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, tell us, you know, tell us what's your worst experience first.
I tell you.
And then we'll get into the other one.
So we used to be in Japan. I used to live in Japan for 4 years, almost 5 years. And so, of course, they eat a lot of sushi, seafood, of course, you know. And the one thing they do eat is octopus.
Taco.
Live octopus.
Okay.
David, a live octopus, bro. They'll take that octopus and they'll, you know, eat that bad boy. He's still kicking and moving around, all that.
Yep.
And
tentacles rolling around.
Yeah, bro. And I remember my dad, he dared me to do it, you know. And I why did I do this, bro? Why? So I ate a live octopus one time.
Okay.
And it was the worst experience I ever had in my life.
Still moving around your mouth?
Still moving around my mouth. And that bad boy, slimy. Still moving around in my mouth.
So just not, yeah.
And almost, it was going down and almost got caught because it was still moving. And it was, oh my gosh, bro. I was trying to, you know, yak it up and I couldn't. And bro, it was a horrible experience. That was the worst experience I ever had eating anything. At the same time, I do like octopuses too. You know what I mean? I'm really into fish aquariums and stuff like that too. So I felt, you know, I was disrespecting the craft. Mm. You know, but
eating,
I
would say, one of your subjects.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they're amazing creatures. They're really smart creatures. So, yeah, that was my worst experience because, you know, it's like I was saying, all the elements of, you know, being alive and, you know, going down my throat and slimy and all that stuff. So, traumatic experience. So that was the worst experience I ever had. But I would say the best, sushi, bro. I say sushi. There's a place, well, there's a lot of, I like to eat, man. So there's a couple of things I would say. I would say sushi.
Okay.
I have another bad experience, but I'll tell you later. Well, I'll tell you now. I had sushi and I called H. pylori. You ever heard that before?
H. pylori?
Yes.
No.
Bacteria infection.
Okay.
Infection from eating sushi.
Okay.
So, and that's the sickest I've ever been in my life. And that was like a year ago, bro.
Is that a, like, parasite?
It's a bacteria infection.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if it's from, like, eating, like, raw foods, raw fish and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I eat a lot of sushi. And, bro, I was, man, it feels like your stomach on fire, like, all day. And nothing can stop it. You know? And, yeah, I was really sick from that. So, that was another bad experience. But I do like, my favorite foods is sushi and I would say like ribeyes, bone-in ribeyes.
Okay. Any particular spot?
Yes.
That you can narrow down?
Yes. Morton's.
There's some folks out there probably want to know where you ate.
My guy. There's a place called West Inside. It's in Carlsbad. They have the best tomahawk ribeye you can eat in your life. Tomahawk ribeye. That thing is huge, maybe 21 ounces, whatever it is. It's huge. That might be my favorite for sure in San Diego. It's called West. It's in Carlsbad. So only probably like 30 minutes away from here, 20 minutes away from here.
And that kind of rolls right into the next question. Mm-hmm. We are on location with Courtney in San Diego, and we're actually in his studio, his photography studio, and everything else he's got going on here. Any local spots in San Diego that you want to give some shout outs to? Yeah,
absolutely, bro. Oof.
You might have some friends that own a spot. Yeah.
Well I'm going to tell you what San Diego's known for. San Diego is known for tacos. So when you come to San Diego, and if you don't have any tacos, you're disrespecting the place. You're disrespecting the land. So when you come here, Uncle Courtney going to tell you guys where you go. Because, you know, I've been here for like 20 years now, almost. But Tacos El Gordo. If you don't go to Tacos El Gordo when you come to San Diego, you're losing out, guys. That's the best tacos you can eat from anywhere. I don't care where you go. I don't care where you go in the world. Tacos El Gordo in National City are TJ-style tacos. Don't go anywhere else. They got a different location. They got one in Las Vegas. They have another location here in San Diego. But you have to go to the one in National City, TJ-style tacos. You're going to eat your fingers off when you have these tacos, bro. I mean, you're going to bite your nails eating these tacos. And they have different types of tacos, like El Pastor. They have Lengua, which is beef. Beef tongue. I was like, bro, I'm not eating that.
My wife's favorite. Shout out to our Latin wives. Absolutely. Latinas, excuse me.
Absolutely.
Latinas.
Let me tell you what my wife did, though. Let me tell you what she did to me. So she told me what it was. I was like, bro, I'm not eating that. You know, like beef tongue? No, that's disgusting. So she was like, oh, this is beef. This is just beef. This is not the beef tongue. So she lied to me. And I ate this.
Sort of. It's still beef.
It is.
It's still in the category.
It is, exactly. So she gave me the lingua, and I had a piece of this, you know, the beef tongue, and it was the best beef I ever had, the best meat I ever had in my life. So now I'm in love with lingua.
Yeah. Just like anything else, if it's prepared right,
yeah,
and you have it in the right place, and it's not too chewy,
yeah,
doesn't give you any weird textures, yeah, you won't know the difference.
100%.
I've had some other stuff like lamb.
Yeah.
Lamb's done right. I've had some like Asian dishes, like Mongolian lamb.
Oh, wow.
Instead of beef.
Really?
Yeah, and it's, you know, only certain places do it, and if it's done right, you might even like it better because it's a little more tender.
Yes.
It's not as tough.
100%. And,
yeah. Okay. Any other spots?
I would say Piojis in Coronado. That's one of my favorite spots as well. That's more of a Hawaiian fusion type of restaurant. This way have a little bit of everything, seafood, steaks, all the above. But the ergonomics and the view of San Diego there is phenomenal, bro. So if you're a tourist and you're coming to San Diego, that's a spot you have to see, because you see the whole landscape of San Diego from the water. You know, I mean, you sit on the water and you see San Diego. But go during sunset, bro. It's magical. If you're dating a girl, bro, and you go there, it's game time. You take a girl there that you're dating, it's game time, bro. She loves you. It's over. It's over. And I will give you one more. I'll give you Sea Level. Sea Level is this kind of same type of restaurant as Piojis as well. It's right on the water, on the bay, on the water. You see this landscape of San Diego, bro. It's so beautiful, man.
I have been there. Yep.
You've been there?
Yes.
Please tell me you got the lobster mac and cheese.
I can't confirm nor deny.
Go back.
It was crowded yesterday. We tried to go there.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait for an hour. If you
make a reservation, folks.
Absolutely.
On the weekend, make a reservation.
That lobster mac and cheese, you're not going to find any.
It was a while ago, so I know we definitely need to go back.
Beautiful location. Beautiful. If you have somebody special, that's a spot you have to visit in San Diego, man. It's magical. That lobster mac and cheese, though, man, I think they put cracker or something in that, bro. Let me tell you, man. You're going to be biting your fingers. Huh? Yes.
Grubbing.
Absolutely. But those are my top choices of San Diego for sure. There's a lot of places you can eat in San Diego, man. I love to eat, you know, but oh, Little Italy. So if you're into pasta, bro, they have the best pasta for sure. All homemade pasta, Little Italy. And I can't recommend you to any specific location, specific restaurant, because they all good. You're not going to go wrong when you go to Little Italy. So for
sure.
There's
a lot of choices there.
Yeah.
No,
for
sure.
You can go to any restaurant. It's good.
Yep.
Any restaurant in Little Italy. But yeah, those are my choices in San Diego for sure. That's my favorite that I go to on a regular basis. You know what I mean? For sure. But out of any of those restaurants, you better get the Tacos El Gordo. That's it. That's what we're known for. Tacos.
You heard it here, folks. Tacos
El Gordo. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank Courtney.
Tell him
he sent you.
They probably know me by now.
They probably know you by now. Oh, Hendo is here.
He's ordering all the tacos.
Oh, yeah. Go see him. And then that kind of, you know, I think we have to go into the pandemic cooking. It's kind of something everybody kind of knows now that with the pandemic that happened last year and kind of still dealing with it, that we've all kind of cooked something at home.
Yeah.
More than usual because our favorite spots were not available. To go was not available. Everything was shut down. You had to go to the store. There's barely any flour left. Maybe sometimes there wasn't any. For some reason, there wasn't any toilet paper. That's another topic. We're all here about food.
Yes.
So my question to you is, you know, obviously you did some pandemic cooking.
For sure.
I know you're not a huge chef. Nah. Not, you don't like to cook that much. But is there anything, dishes that you made that you're like, man, I never made this before? And now it's in the rotation.
No, not really.
Something
man.
New or something old even.
Like, I will say not really with me, man. Because let me tell you, every time I tried to cook, I gave myself food poisoning. So for real, I'll swear to you.
Well, I told you I'm going to come, you know, yeah. I'm going to help you out with that.
Right. So I'm not the best chef. What I will say that my wife, she's definitely cooked up a little bit more.
Okay.
But I love omelets now for some reason. Okay. I'm really big on omelets. And the sauce, what was the sauce you gave me with the soy sauce type of?
Another shout out to Bachan's. God. So Bachan's, if you guys don't know, it's a relatively new product. It's been around a couple of years now. Justin Gill and his family, he's half Japanese like me. And he basically, the easiest way to describe it is like a teriyaki sauce, but I don't want to call it that.
Yeah.
Give him more credit. It's his grandma's recipe. So, you know, shout out to them. And I just started sharing it with everybody. Like, you guys got to have this.
Why did you do that to me?
Yeah.
Why did you do that to me, David?
It's because it was good. Right?
Yeah. Now I put it on everything.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't care. You could put this on your cereal. You can put that on anything, bro. That sauce, oh my gosh, man.
Amazing.
I ordered some more, too. Yep.
Hopefully we can get Justin on this podcast.
Yes.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, you represent very hard. So he definitely need to show you some love, man. You put
and
me
they
on.
Have. You know, I appreciate yeah. them. Like, shout out to Bachan's. Like, they follow my Instagram. They comment every time.
Yeah.
If I do a contest and I do well, they took care of me.
Yeah.
I did pretty well this last one. And I you know, I got a bunch of Bachan's and sent it out, man. I just sent it out. And yeah. I was like, this is what you need to have.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's good. It's, yeah, it's the spicy amazing. One. They just got a hot and spicy one. You haven't had that one yet, right?
No, I haven't had that one. Oh. I ordered the bigger one from the one you gave me, the original.
Yep.
Bro, oh my gosh.
I'll wait till you have the spicy one.
Yeah, oh, bro. I don't like spicy foods.
It's not crazy, though.
Okay, it's not.
It's just a little, and you're like, oh, okay, little kick.
Okay,
not
all right.
Crazy, yeah.
We'll try it out then. My wife is Mexican, so she, I'm pretty sure she'll love it. So I'll try it out. But
so is there a dish, so back to the cooking.
Yes.
So what dish did she cook up maybe that you're like, hey, I hadn't seen this before?
So I will tell you this before we get into that. So once again, I have a garden in the backyard, and we did. When we were in the pandemic, what we did was, because we couldn't go out too much, I just went back to my roots and I started doing like more raw vegan stuff.
Mm.
So now, so I won't say we're raw vegan or anything like that because I'm a dinosaur, bro. I love to eat meat. You know what I mean? I love meat. But we start exploring more like raw vegan options, man. So we start, you know, living off the land and in our backyard. So it was so dope, man. So. And we started making pies, you know, like raw vegan pies, kale chips, things of that nature. My wife and I, like I said, I don't cook, but she never cooked, you know, that much as well. Like she's Mexican, so she made her own Mexican dishes and things of that nature. But she learned how to cook steaks now. Oh my gosh, I love her, man. I love her now, bro. She cooks the best steak now, bro.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, and that's from the pandemic.
Okay.
You know, so.
Ribeyes?
Yeah, ribeyes. That's all I eat, ribeyes. I don't eat anything else.
It's the best cut, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm a fan as well.
Yeah. Bone in or regular?
Either one. I love it with bone, but with bone can be a little expensive.
Yes.
If you get that, you know,
yeah,
cowboy ribeye. Get that thick cut, two-inch thick cut.
Oh, my God. Why are you talking, man? See, this is the reason why I don't like you when I look at your Instagram or when I talk to you, because you get me hungry. You know what I mean?
But, you know, me and Courtney know each other for a few years. In the intro, I'll explain how we met. But I follow him, and you know, sometimes you'll see him going out to eat.
Yes.
And then other times he's juicing in the garden.
Yes.
And with the garden, let's talk about your garden.
Well, I want to this is the thing about Instagram as well. I don't put everything on Instagram. You know what I mean? So sometimes I go through my little transitions. You know what I mean? Like, I want to post more about my garden. Then people are like, do you have a good, when I don't post about my garden, I get all DMs saying like, oh, you still have your garden? Yeah, I got my garden. I just don't post about it. You know what I mean? That's all it is.
Instagram doesn't give everything.
Nothing at all. You only see the highlights of people's lives, you know?
Correct.
What I mean? So it is what it is though.
But if you guys don't know, Courtney's got an awesome garden.
Yes.
There's squash coming out of there.
Oh my God,
bro. What kind of squash you got coming out of there?
I got butternut squash. I have kale. I have broccoli. I have tomatoes. We have onions. We have peppers. Jalapeno peppers. We have serrano peppers. We have
watermelon.
Watermelon right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have a lot of watermelon right now. We have cucumbers. We have corn. We have what else do I have?
I think we're gonna see a Hendo farm stand at some point.
Oh, I have a pineapple. I have one pineapple.
Awesome.
And it just we just chopped it up. Very good, nice and sweet pineapple. I love everything, man. A little bit of everything. You name it. And I use that just juice in the morning, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now, for sure.
And then shout out to Courtney, he's a new dad.
Oh, bro, let me tell you. Just had a kid, man.
Fatherhood.
It's amazing, bro. It's amazing. Just no time, for sure. No time. It's amazing. He's just started eating as well. So, like, eating solids. So, he's eating a lot of stuff we have in the garden as well, too, bro.
So, that's amazing. What I was going to ask. Are you, like, blending it up and making baby food out of it?
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, man. If you haven't... Just try to start, man. Start growing one thing and then grow another. It's so rewarding to eat the stuff out of your backyard, man. It's so crazy, man. So, you know, most of our produce now is coming from our garden. We don't really go to the grocery store to get produce anymore. Only meats.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You get that the full circle moment of I grew it.
Yeah.
I'm able to make something and give it to my son.
Yes.
And it's all one circle. There's nothing in the middle.
Yes.
It wasn't filtered, you know.
There's no middleman.
It didn't come from some weird area. It wasn't packaged.
Yep. Yep.
It's fresh right from your garden.
And you can watch it. You watch it grow from it's so basic, but when you watch it grow from like nothing, you put a seed in the ground, then all of a sudden it's sprouting to like it's abundance of fruit and veggies that you're growing, and then you're eating actually the stuff that you grow. It's different, man. It's different. And it's not comparable like when you go to the store. It makes you feel completely different. So you know what I mean? It's awesome for sure.
And it's tough. It's tough if you're in a spot where, you know, you can't get something, and then you got to go out and shop for it. But it's tough to and sometimes we're kind of detached on how it's made.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff is made.
100%.
So when you actually see it, you might cherish it a little bit more. Because I mean, how long does it take for you to grow? I mean, that watermelon. How long does that take to get a decent size edible watermelon, you know?
That watermelon will take you about 6 months. Four to 6 months. Yeah. Depends. You know, they got different types of watermelons, but it takes a long time for
Which one are you growing?
I have the black watermelons and I have the regular watermelons. They're I have red. Two different types.
What's the black one?
The black one is I get that from the south as well, you know what I mean? But it's a darker watermelon, that's all it is.
It's still red inside?
Yeah, still red inside.
Seedless or seeds?
Seeds.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't eat the seedless, bro. That's GMO watermelons. But why are you going to disrespect me on your podcast You going
to
say
I'm trying to?
Hey, David's trying to say I'm growing GMO watermelons, guys. Seedless? You saw he tried to get catch me. He tried to catch
you
me.
You see how we're that shows, right? Like yes. I'm programmed to walk in the store and go, "Oh, I can have one without seeds."
100%.
And you have no idea. Or you forget, because I seem to have forgotten.
That's a GMO watermelon.
That's a GMO watermelon. It's
been genetically modified.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's terrible.
Yep. 100%.
Because we probably, we shouldn't be eating that.
Yep. We shouldn't be eating that at all.
Because something has been chemically altered in that watermelon.
100%, bro.
Is it easier to eat? Yeah. But that's not what we should be eating.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Don't do that for sure. But
my apologies.
I just
farmer.
Guess what? I bought a watermelon from the sky, from the store like about 6-7 months ago, because it takes a long time for my watermelons to grow. So my wife wanted to wanted a watermelon. We bought a watermelon. Guess what color it was? Yellow, bro.
I was gonna say yellow.
I never seen that before. All my years, I never seen a yellow watermelon before, and it was a yellow watermelon, bro. It was crazy. Have you ever seen that before?
I have.
You have?
Yes.
Wow.
I've had one.
Really?
Yes.
Tastes the same.
It does. Doesn't have a difference.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like a orangey or it's got a lemon. No, it's just watermelon.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your favorite thing to make with a watermelon? Gotta ask the farmer what he likes. Besides just chilling it cold, hot day.
Make with watermelon? Vodka.
Okay, there we go. Hey, that's there you go.
No,
it's a little cocktail.
Yeah,
watermelon.
I mean, actually, I don't drink too much anymore though. But nothing. I don't have any like special recipes or anything. Okay. We just eat it.
Yeah,
watermelon. We don't add anything with it or something like that.
I've had it. I just was playing around and I blended it, iced it, added mint.
Really?
And if water? You don't have to have alcohol in it.
Yes, you do.
But if you want to add a little vodka and you got blended watermelon.
Yeah.
You filter it so it's clean and then it's just watermelon juice, and a little mint and ice and vodka. I think you're good to go.
That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker, but, you know.
Yeah, me either.
You can add what you want.
It's so funny now, man. I had a little cocktail the other day, went out with a friend and we're just talking. I had a cocktail. You know, actually two cocktails. Mm-hmm. And man, just the recovery process now, as you get older, man, it's not appealing to me anymore. It like takes me a whole day to get over, you know, being like hungover and stuff. So you feel like crap the next day. So it's like I don't even like drinking anymore, man. So I'm over it.
I just never got into it.
Yeah.
I think I had my dad's old, he had a Budweiser on the table when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's that taste like? And he's like, you can have a sip if you want. He did this with coffee too. Mm-hmm. So I think it kind of ruined me for quite a long time. He's like, you can have a sip. Took a sip. This is just straight, the regular Budweiser, the red and white and blue label.
Mm-hmm.
Took a sip and was like, okay, Dad, have fun with that.
Never mind. You never mind.
And the same thing with coffee. He drinks black coffee straight. Same thing. And that's another question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what do you like? Coffee, tea? Are you,
tea, bro.
Tea?
I don't like
coffee. You're more tea? Okay.
Let me tell you the reason why I don't like coffee. It depends what type of tea as well. I don't like coffee because the caffeine in it, you know, of course you get decaf, whatever it is, but, man, it gives me like anxiety, bro. I don't know what it is. I just can't drink coffee. I can't drink that too much caffeine.
Okay.
You know, so I try to stay off the caffeine a little bit. You know what I mean? It's so funny that I can have a little bit of caffeine, but if I have like consecutive days just drinking caffeine, I'll just have anxiety out of the roof. I don't know what it is. So I kind of stay away from that kind of any too much caffeine. You know what I mean? So coffee, I just don't like coffee. I would prefer tea. I love black tea. I love, what is the turmeric tea as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yeah, for
you
sure.
Like green tea?
Green tea, as long as it's decaf green tea.
Okay.
You know, I do like green tea as well. At nighttime before I go to bed.
Some of the sushi spots have green tea.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I do like green tea as well. You know what I mean?
And I have another tea favorite is the Korean wheat tea.
I never had that one. Okay. Wow. Okay.
We'll get you on that game. We'll get you on that one.
All right.
You go to Korean barbecue.
Okay.
They oftentimes will have it.
Okay. I probably had it before then.
And it's either iced, it might be cold, or they can give you hot. So it just depends.
Okay.
It's like a barley tea. So it's you get a heavy barley flavor. There's no sugar, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wheat tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's another favorite of mine.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I had it before then.
But yeah, you might have had it.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
And then kind of curtailing into your background, your nationality.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're African American.
Yes.
I don't know. Why don't you tell me a little about maybe the location, kind of like your background and the relationship of food to that?
Yeah. You know? So like I said in the beginning, I'm from the South. So I'm from Southern, from Georgia. So, black for sure. nothing, you know, no Nigerian or anything.
It's hard to break down where
I haven't did 21 and me, so I don't know what I am and like, you know.
I mean, that might be something fun to do.
Yeah. I don't even care. Don't shit. Care. I'm black.
You're from Georgia. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
So Southern, my culture, like I said, was Southern culture.
Yeah.
All the same, man. We just grew up in, you know, and that whole culture, you know, for us when it comes to food, the same thing, like anything that's Southern. I don't care if it's from catfish to hush puppies to, you know, like I said, fried fish. Everything has to be fried in the South, bro. Mm. That's why I guess we have so many health problems, because everything's super fried.
Okay.
Fried okra, fried this, fried that, you know what I mean? So.
And where in Georgia?
Albany, Georgia.
Albany. Okay.
Albany, Georgia is probably 3 hours away from Atlanta, you know, and it's in the bottom of Georgia towards more the close to Albany. Alabama. I can't even get that out. It's closer to Alabama for sure. So super Southern, bro. Super Southern. And like it's not too many other nationalities around. It's pretty much black people, you know, and like I said, nothing but farmers. You know, he's black and white. That's the only thing you see where I'm from, black and white and farmers, you know, so super, 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 duper cool, man.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I'm, anything that's from the South, you know, anything that you see soul food, that's what we grew up on. You like I said, and like, and as you can see now, how where I'm at now with growing my garden and everything, that's come from my roots of from being in the South. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
sure.
the best, like we were talking about, that's the best way.
Yeah, 100%, you know, and it's so crazy if you think about it, because I'm going to teach my kids all these different techniques as well. So when he grows up, he'll be, you know, passed down through generations.
You know,
so.
Understand like the, you know, the natural, you know, way of how things are grown, and then he'll appreciate like, oh, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
If he has something that's manufactured, he's going to be like, what's this, Dad?
For sure.
You know, like, how come it tastes like this? And you're like, well, let me explain what happens when you try to mass produce something and some big companies get in the way and, you know, and that kind of thing.
Money and everything.
Money gets in the way and it tastes different.
What about yourself, man? I haven't asked you any questions. We want to hear about you as well. What are some so prominent dishes that are from your culture as well?
Ooh, I mean, if you guys don't know, I'll introduce myself. I'm half Japanese, half Caucasian. So I grew up in a mixed household. My dad's a Caucasian from the East Coast, and my mom's from Japan.
Mm-hmm. What part of Japan?
She's from Kyoto.
Oh, okay. I've never been there, but.
Nice town outside of Tokyo. It's, I couldn't tell you the distance right now, but some.
Have you been in Tokyo?
I have. We only got to spend one day together.
Oh my God.
But,
Beautiful city.
It's beautiful. I did the Tokyo Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when I was younger and we did the Tokyo Tower, tried to go see some of the hobby shops back in those days, mm-hmm. RC cars and stuff. And then stuff was closed. A lot of great food. I mean, perfection when it comes to food, when it comes to cleanliness.
Yeah.
You know, very honorable and humble country.
They take pride in their food, bro.
It comes take pride in a lot of things.
Yes.
I think there isn't anything, you know, everyone has their bad seats in their countries, but I'm just saying, like, in general, when you go there, you're going to get great service. You're going to get a clean place.
Yes.
And they're going to serve the best thing that they can possibly give you.
You know what's crazy? I want to add to that as well. That people don't really understand. And when you go there and you taste like the simple things, like the fish, like the taste of fish is completely different.
Correct.
To what we have here. You know what I mean? So let's say you eat salmon or something here, bro. When you eat salmon over there, it's real salmon, bro. It tastes way more rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's so crazy.
We got to hook Courtney up with some San Diego fishermen because they've been catching some good tuna, I hear.
Really?
Yes. I heard they had a good year. I was just at an event like this weekend for 9/11.
Okay.
And shout out to Cook's Ranch and Chris Cook and Tier 1 Athletes. They brought out this company called Pole to Plate, and they're kind of doing local delivery here in San Diego. And they brought out a tuna and showed us how to break it down. But they just to let you know, in a nutshell, they got a, the tuna has been really good this year. They're averaging, really? You know, when those commercial fishermen go out there, they're averaging 100, 200 pounds.
Yeah.
When they catch a fish. I mean, your table you got here, it's as long as this table. So, and that's fresh ahi, right? Bluefin tuna.
How you know all this stuff? And I live here. Where's the disconnect? How do you obtain this information?
I just, you know, when you love something and you are super interested in it, you just start finding things.
I don't know, bro. I'm a certified fat boy. I need to lose a couple right now because I love to eat. Well, how do you know this stuff that I don't know? I mean, I feel offended.
Well, I'm going to take care of you after this. So
appreciate you, man. We're going
to hook you up. And then I just, we got some little bit more time.
Yeah.
And then we're kind of just talking about some of the, I don't know, you don't cook a lot, but I'm a gear guy. I like, we talked about, shout out to you getting this podcast together and what I needed to have. But is there like something in the kitchen that you like to use? It's like your favorite thing. And I kind of like, everyday carry is a big deal. What things people use. We can even talk about, what you have here. Is there a favorite tool that just. Well,
I'm using the dehydrator right now.
Okay.
That's what I'm using now. Okay. Right now. So, I'm trying to get more back into this raw vegan because I'm trying to eat clean again. Once this pandemic was over with and we was, be able to go out, I of course went out and start eating everything in the city. So that's what we've been doing. So, but now I'm trying to get clean again and eat clean. So,
I know I mentioned to be super specific on a, do you know who makes that dehydrator?
Oh shoot. I can look it up. If not,
we'll get it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes because we wanted. I have a really good one too. Okay. I got to look it up and I forgot the name though. I bought it like a long time ago. So.
My pet peeve is somebody will mention something cool that they have.
Yeah.
But they won't let you know how to get it. And a lot of people want to know where, when, how.
Yeah.
And they want to have it at home so they can use it too and take advantage.
Yeah, because I did my research because sometimes you can spend a lot of money and the product that you get right. is not that good.
And maybe it's one already had one and you're like, no, that one's no good. This is the one that does the job. I mean, what are you making in that dehydrator?
Kale chips, anything that I want to, any type of veggies that I want to dehydrate, and make them like more into a chip form. So we do apples and stuff like that, apple chips, banana chips, all that stuff. And we make our own things, So right now I'm trying to cut back the portions of the food I'm eating, Because I like to eat, bro. I'm from the South. Like I said, it's part of my culture.
Yeah.
We like to do that. So that's it's so funny. I don't do drugs. I don't do anything. This is my this is my addiction. I love food. Food is my addiction, man.
I think that's why we get along. I know we talk and maybe I'll forte my personal question for you is when we met, MMA was the topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were surprised at how much I knew about MMA.
You did.
I'm a huge fan, of all MMA, not just
music
one.
Music too. Yes.
We've been talking about classics, 90s classics.
Yes.
Shout out to the 90s classics.
Right.
Because we're similar in age and everything. And, I got to ask you, you were a professional MMA photographer for a number of years.
Yes.
I know fighters eat a lot of different things. A lot of times they're on a strict diet. Did you see something that they ate and you were like, hey, that needs to be in. I like that.
Ooh.
I know there's a lot of times it's really regimented.
Yeah. A lot of those guys, I was blessed enough to be around some of the best.
Yeah, you were.
The best of the best, and when you're on that type of level, you're not eating just anything. So they're not just going out on anything. They're really strict on the diets. And 90% of the time when you're like one of the elite MMA fighters, you're getting like meal preps and stuff like that.
Correct.
On top from chefs, very popular chefs and stuff like that. You're sponsored by some type of meal prep company, so. Most of the time they had their formulated meals, and delivered to them like breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't see anything too crazy, but the quality of food that they're eating was pretty high quality food. Okay. You know what I mean? The high quality proteins,
yeah.
Greens, grains and all that and stuff. So
phenomenal
Yeah.
Phenomenal physique, phenomenal shape.
Bro, like Phil Davis, chisel from God. You know what I mean? God himself, descended from God himself. The guy, I have never seen anybody chiseled the way that guy is. You know what I mean? I have a man crush on him, bro. You know, so crazy. I'm like, bro, how do you get like that? Like, how was that even possible? How was that? Like, he's an alien, you know, been around Conor McGregor a lot too. Same thing with him. He has his own like nutritionist and chefs and stuff like that. Of course he's a, you know, on a different level. So he'll have everything formulated for him. The John Joneses, been around all those, Ronda Rouseys. They have their own people cooking for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially fight camp. And it's so crazy. Like, they eat these very healthy foods, but it tastes really good too as well. So it's easy for them to go do their thing. You know what I mean? So, but anything crazy? No, not those guys. They're not going to be, they got too much on the line to eat crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cause that,
no, I just was thinking of if there was like a meal, you're like, oh, I need that in the rotation, but I know they do got to keep it simple.
Simple, bro.
It's usually low salt, low, you know, low, you know, no grease, no nothing.
Yes. You know. I'm a fat boy. They're not eating anything that stuff I'm eating. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I look at the stuff they eat and I'm like, oh, dude, that sucks, man. You eating that? Okay. I'm going to go eat this hamburger over here, baby.
Yeah. That's post-fight meals.
Yeah. That's true. After they win, they'll eat like a crazy pizza or something like that. But other than that, nah, bro.
I think with, you know, asking you about food and recipes, is there anything that you would want someone to have, like, if there's one recipe or dish that you said you need to try this, or you need to make this at home, you know,
greens. If you can find somebody who can make some good soul food greens or
collard greens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some good collard greens, bro. That would change your life, man. Or okra too. You know what I mean? Like, if you can find somebody to make you some good okra, you know, I can eat it if it's deep fried.
Yeah, let us know. I think we're both kind of
deep fried okra. I could probably
need to find some good okra.
Yeah, and that's a superfood too as well. That's like one of the best foods you can eat ever. You know,
what about growing it?
Oh,
it's,
man,
like growing your nemesis, huh? Your enemy.
I don't think I'll grow it, man.
Yeah,
I don't have a good relationship with okra. Okay. You know, peach cobbler, bro. If you want like a good peach cobbler, man. Black eyed peas. Woo. Yes, sir. All day, man. You know, so, you know, it's funny. Like, even like, we used to eat a lot of catfish and things like that. And that's like the worst food you can eat too.
Bottom feeders.
Bottom feeders, bro.
Not a huge fan, but maybe like you said, sometimes if it's not made right.
Yeah.
Like, you make them taste good.
Absolutely. I got another spot to tell you about in San Diego. Okay. Soul Food. Louisiana Purchase. Go there before you leave. Please. Put that on your list. I forgot to even mention this. That might be the best restaurant in San Diego, but it's very popular now and it's busy. So you got to make a reservation if you can. And I will go during the daytime. Don't go during the nighttime because you're not getting there. Okay. But if you want soul food, you know, like Southern food, you're not going to eat anything better than this. Believe me. I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go. This might be the best soul food restaurant in San Diego.
Right on.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think that kind of closes it out, but I'll leave the floor to you.
Yeah.
Any advice you want to give? Any projects you got coming up? Anything, you know, anything you want to promote? Anything?
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Of course, like I said, we have a deep, we also have a deep connection with the MMA, so we love MMA. So right now I have a podcast called Boisterous Boys. So we're pushing that really hard right now. It's very entertaining. We're over the top. We're having fun. We talk crazy. It's more like barbershop talk with guys, you know, so it's not your typical, you know, podcast. It's crazy. We talk crazy. So just have fun. We argue, debate about different things in that nature. So that's one of the biggest projects I'm doing right now. So other than that, man, you know, this podcast here, you know, so I'm excited for what you're about to do in your future. I see how you're passionate you are about food, and you know your food, you know your stuff. So I know you're going to be the Anthony Bourdain 2.0, you know, not really him, but, you know, yeah. But I'm excited for you.
Yeah, and you can find Courtney Hendo on Instagram or at Hendo Studios. If you need things all studio, whether you have a podcast, you need to use a studio. He's got a full blown photography studio.
Yeah.
You have you need a photo shoot, a rap video, a music video.
Yep.
A model shoot.
Yeah. Got models too.
Got models too. On that note, I appreciate you. From the bottom of my heart, man.
Man, I appreciate you even, like, you know, coming in and inviting me onto the show for sure.
Yep.
I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of you. This is gonna be big, man. You know, so keep doing your thing, bro, for sure.
Right on. All right, we're out.
All right.